Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Dear Father God, we thank you for these moments that we can be together. God, we're thankful for this church and this body. And God, we ask right now that you speak to us through the text and through the scriptures that you've given us. Allow us to have the faith that we're going to see that Noah had and to live our lives for you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Yes, Russell gave us one verse, but as someone who's trying to write a sermon and looking at one verse, I'm like, you can only take that so far. So we will be looking at a bigger picture of Noah, but we've been doing this series. Russell started this series, We Can Be Heroes. And we're looking at people in specifically in Hebrews chapter 11 that are heroes of faith. And the thing I love about Noah, and that I hope you'll understand when we get to the very end, that no, you're probably not going to go out and build an ark. But you can have faith like Noah had faith. You know, Noah is one of the prominent members of the Hall of Faith in chapter 11 of book of Hebrews. And the writer of Hebrews 11, he uses examples from biblical history of those who were faithful as the marginalized in order to encourage his readers to be steadfast in their faith in the light of the difficult circumstances that they were facing every day in their life. You know, we read in the scriptures that the Lord saw the wickedness of man and that it was great on the earth and that every intention of their heart was evil. We read that the Lord called Noah amidst all of that evil in the world and found favor in God's eyes. You know, Noah is an example of what faith looks like. Because he has pleased God by doing what God has asked him. And to find what God has asked him to do, of course, we have to turn to Genesis chapter 6, right? In Genesis chapter 6, starting in verse 9, it says this. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God, and Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence, and God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all the flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh. For the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits. Its breadth, 50 cubits. Its height, 30 cubits. Make a roof of the earth and finish it, or make a roof for the ark, sorry, and finish it to a cubit above. Set the door of the ark in its inside. Make it with lower, second, and third decks. For behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth and destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you. You shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And for every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark and keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds according to their kinds, and of the animals according to their kinds, for every creepy thing of the ground according to its kinds, two of every sort shall come to you to keep them alive. Also take with you every sort of food that is eaten, and store it up. It shall serve as food for you and for them. Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. So to follow the example of Noah's faith like Noah, we have to understand that we cannot please God without first acknowledging that God is truly God. Noah would have had to believe this. I mean, think about it. What evidence did Noah have to go on when God asked him to build the ark? Noah had never seen anything resembling a global flood before. All he had to go on was the truth and the character of God and who God says he was. And yet, we look at Noah, we see him not being argumentative about this. He's not questioning. He's not complaining. We simply see obedience. You know, the first swing of the axe at that very first gopher tree serves as one of the most amazing acts of faith of the history of the world and what we're able to see. And perhaps what was most notable about Noah's faith is how he followed God in something that the rest of the world would have regarded as totally absurd and ridiculous. If you don't believe it, go watch the movie Evan Almighty. We see it right there, right? Noah followed God despite how the task would have seemed impossible. You want me to build what? How do you want me to do that? You mean you need the ark to be that big? How will I do that? Would it all be for nothing, or would God keep his promise? Can you imagine the questions that are running through his mind as he's hearing this? And that is where this obedience of faith comes in. You see, faith is often going to seem conflicting to human reasoning. Faith often won't make sense, you know, from our human perspective. But what does the text say about Noah? It says that Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. He had no proof that what God was saying was actually going to happen. But that's where the faith took over. You know, how many of us would have been challenged by this thought if we were Noah? Would we have this type of faith that we're seeing in Noah? So in verse 7, the writer of Hebrews, he mentions three truths that we're able to see about Noah's working faith. The first we see that Noah believed, right? You see this at the very beginning of this one verse. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear. And what is Noah's response to all of this? It says in reverent fear, Noah constructed an ark for the saving of his household, so that he could save his family. In a day and age of such evil and wickedness, we see that Noah exhibits the obedience of faith. He's responding in reverent fear of God, not of man. This is remarkable, because it would have been so easy for Noah to be concerned with whatever was being said about him, right? Because you better believe he was experiencing ridicule. You better believe people were making fun of him. You better believe they were watching what he was doing and saying, this guy's nuts. It would have been easy for Noah to give up, right? It would have been easy for him to give up on what God had called him to do because of what his neighbors were saying about him. Noah had two choices to follow here, to live in the world or to live with God and to live in God. Thomas Lang states it this way: God told Noah about an event in the unseen world of the future coming flood. There was no evidence in the visible sensory world to back up this word. So Noah had a choice to make, to trust what he saw around him with his own eyes or to trust God's word. In short, it was the word of God. Noah chose God and therefore did what made no sense whatsoever in worldly terms. He built the ark to weather a storm no one could see coming. And what this reveals to us is that Noah feared God more than he feared man. And why this matters to us is because we have the tendency, think about it, we have the tendency to value the praise of man more than the value of God, right? One of the deadliest sins we can fall into is this love of human praise. It's so easy in our click-like culture. Think about it. Facebook, we want likes. Instagram, we want hearts. It's so easy for us to fall into this, for our desire to have the praise of man more than anything else. We want to be validated. We want people to compliment us on the things we do. And what we see is Noah was more concerned about his relationship with God. All those Facebook likes, Instagram likes meant nothing to him. And if that isn't faith, I don't know what is. Faith in this context is a firm confidence of something not yet seen but promised by God. Without faith in the promises of God, it's impossible to please him. We see this in Hebrews. If you go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, and without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. And so it's important to understand that. Noah believed. But the second thing that we see in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7 in that verse is, in reverent fear, constructing an ark for the saving of the household. So building the ark involved tremendous faith on behalf of Noah. Now, you may, I get it, I even thought this. You may say, well, that would take some faith, but that does not seem any different than any of the other examples of faith I have heard or I've read in the scriptures. The difference is, God warned Noah about the things not yet seen. You know, it takes mind-boggling faith to believe God concerning something that has not yet happened and has never happened before. I mean, the world we live in, the last time I checked, the world we live in is one of these things that seeing is believing. Right? The world we live in, seeing is believing. If it isn't visual, doubt remains as a reality. Doubt is going to creep in, but this is not the way of the kingdom of God. Faith triumphs over sight, giving substance to unseen things. And so after 120 years of work, right, we see Noah saw the promise of God come to pass. He and his family were saved, which brings us to this third truth that we see in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness that comes by faith. Here's the thing with this, especially this part right here. If you and I, if we aren't careful, there is a potential for us to read this to mean that Noah's obedience led to his righteousness, that Noah was considered righteous in the sight of God by what he did. And that's not true. That's not what this text is saying. It's not by what he did. An heir is someone who inherits, right? An heir receives something earned by another. It is freely given. It's freely received. And we are told that by faith, that is, by believing what God has revealed and trusting what God has promised, Noah became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. It wasn't riches or worldly population, right? We see that Noah became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. In other words, we are saved through faith alone, not a result of works. We are saved as a result of faith in what Christ has done for us, not as a result of anything we can do. Faith isn't just believing in something. It's acting upon what you believe. And Noah didn't just believe God. He acted on that belief by building an ark that God was commanding him to build. It would have done Noah no good to simply believe and not do anything to change his circumstances. He had to act on it. He had to do something about it. Obedience then is not what saves us, but it's what secures, you know, our faith. Noah built the ark that God commanded him to build, not because he was earning God's righteousness by doing it, but that he would eventually receive the reward. For years he endured a world consumed with wickedness, but through that Noah and his family were given a second chance, a fresh start. You know, because of God's compassion, you and I have been given a second chance and a fresh start as well. And so as we're talking about these heroes, and as Russell's been starting the series about heroes, I had to think, well, I want to be a hero. I want to be like Noah. Again, I'm not going to go build an ark. That ain't happening. If I do, I'm going to go get James, though. That's what I learned. But that ain't going to happen. I'm not going to do that. For one, that's too big for me, and I don't want to get that many splinters. But here's the thing. I told you Noah got this second start, this fresh second start for his life, right? And like Noah, we get to experience God's grace. Like Noah, you and I can enjoy the favor of God. You know, just as Noah found favor in God's eyes, you have found favor as well. No matter how you see yourself in the mirror, no matter what you're struggling with, God loves you. No matter what you've done, God loves you. He's placed his hands of grace on you. You just have to believe that. We get to be a part of God's family if we choose. And that was the same as Noah. Like Noah, we get to exhibit our faith every day. You know, we talked about this idea that, and I've said it multiple times, that as Noah was doing this, people were ridiculing him. And he had two choices. Do I want to continue to do what I believe in and to share God's word? Or do I want to believe in the world? So, like Noah, we get to exhibit our faith every day. Like Noah, who took God at his word and followed accordingly, even when he looked crazy, we're called to take God at his word and do whatever he calls us to do, regardless of what the world thinks is acceptable or not. We're called to take God at his word even when we can't see with our own eyes the reasons to obey. Even when we don't see any advantage outcome to the situation. Even when it might be costly to do that. So as you go to lunch today, you know, show those that you come in contact with that you love God through your actions and how you respond to them. When you go to work tomorrow, show those you come in contact with that you love God through your words. When you go to school tomorrow, right, and you're in your hallways, show those around you that who you are and that you love God. You know, how are you going to exhibit that in the days to come? What can you do to exhibit your faith to those every day, even when your faith seems strange to others? You know, the Lord, he calls us to trust by faith. That the one who created us also knows what's best for us and that we act according to that. And like Noah, we get to embrace a hope-filled promise. Right? That's the reason Noah, I think, was able to finish that ark. He believed what was coming. He believed what was happening. He may not have understood all of it. But he knew God had a plan for him. And the thing we have to understand is that judgment's coming, right? While the Lord has promised through the sign of the rainbow that he will never again destroy this world with a flood, go read Revelation chapter 20, right? The Bible tells us the day's coming. The day's coming. And we as followers of Christ were reminded that we will not be subject to God's wrath in that way. Rather, we have been promised a deliver. And that deliver is not a wooden boat, but Jesus Christ, right? And so by faith, I hope you will believe to cling on to Jesus. Just like Noah clinged on to that ark. He knew it was coming. He knew things were coming. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Noah had faith. Even though he had never seen that type of rain before, Noah heard God's warning. He feared God in a good way, not a bad way. He obeyed. He built the place of safety just as God had instructed him to do. And as he worked on that project, he became, I think, someone who was even more rooted and stronger in his faith than he ever was before. And I think that's a pretty cool example, pretty amazing example of who he was. And so my question is, will you be like the people in the days of Noah who scoffed and mocked, or will you be like Noah and his family who clinged on to those promises of God and what God wanted for us? If so, when that storm comes, you know, you can find comfort in God. God wants us to have a tough faith, and it's not easy. But I believe when it was all said and done, Noah said it was worth the price. I think when we get to heaven, we'll agree. We'll say it was worth the price. You know, we are saved at the point of baptism. We hear the word of God. We turn away from sin. We confess that Jesus is the Son of God. And based on that confession, right, we were buried with Christ in baptism for the forgiveness of our sins. And that's a great gift that we get to have, and we get to live for our lives. And maybe this morning you need to have faith like Noah, and you need to step out in faith and be baptized. Maybe you're already a Christian, but you've slipped. You've fallen into sin, and you're just struggling. Perhaps you need the prayers of this congregation. And I want you to know we would love to do that for you. Maybe you just need to turn to the person next to you, you know, during our song and say, hey, I need prayers for this. I know that person would do that for you. We would be honored to go to God on your behalf. We'd be honored to walk alongside of you in your journey. But maybe you already know what you need to do. And if that's you, I think Ron said it maybe last week or a couple weeks ago. If that's you, don't wait. Don't wait. Make those steps that you need to make. If we can do anything for you, why don't you come as we stand and as we sing.